Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. I have a little burden on my heart that we've had for some time. And as you already know, folks, I believe in serving the Lord with all of our heart. I'm totally sold on it. That's why I want to give myself fully all the days of my life. And not hold back at any time. Need y'all's prayers for that. I want to give us this morning a little thought on the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. We believe that knowing the Lord is the greatest thing life has to offer. It's the thing that will satisfy the soul and give us happiness in life. It'll give us good relationships. It'll teach us good things. And there's no negative side to it. In Psalms 111 and 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Folks, people that live in wisdom live good lives. Wisdom is a wonderful thing. And the wise man told us that with all you're getting, get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a healthy thing. One scripture says it's clean, enduring forever. It tells us that it is the beginning of wisdom. And it says, "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." I want to think about the things that we are fixing to study. Folks, there's more than just those good things to the fear of the Lord. I hope that this morning that God will get a hold of each one of our hearts with a new strength of the fear of the Lord this morning. Because along with promoting what I fully believe are the blessings of life is a warning that if we don't fear God, folks, we get in deep trouble. The scriptures tell us, and I want to read several places before we really get there, but in Psalm 34 and 7, I'm going to read several places today and a number of scriptures, Lord willing, but Psalm 34 and 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Folks, there is a blessing in trusting the Lord this morning. There is a blessing in giving ourselves to him with no reserves. And it says here, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." And I want to encourage us this morning to taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It goes on to say, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" We read this scripture last week. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Listen to what it says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Okay, we studied about that last week, didn't we? "And his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." Now, you might want to pluck this scripture out of the Bible, but there's a whole lot more like it. And this morning, I want to encourage us to assimilate all the Word of God into our heart and our life and our understandings. Because while we believe that that to taste and see that the Lord is good, folks, there is another aspect of the Lord. And I want to tell you, He said His face is set against those that do evil. Now, He determines what evil is, and His Word tells us what evil is. It's not what we think it is, it's what the Lord says it is. And He said His face is set against those that do evil. You know what? I want to encourage us today to recognize that there is a blessing and there is a curse in the Lord. Now, we don't like to think that today. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that I can't do anything I want to do. Folks, we can do anything we want to do if God permits it. But we cannot take care of the outcome. What what happens after that, we can't have anything to do with that, can we? God determines the outcome. The scriptures tell us, and this is in Proverbs 16 and 6, if you want to look it up, but it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." I am persuaded there is not enough fear of the Lord today. There's not enough fear, and I'm talking about not only that fear that reverences, but that fear that stands afraid of. Okay? You don't have to say amen. I want to tell you something, folks. We better be afraid to displease God and sin against God. We better be afraid. There's thousands of years of history of people that have done that and what has happened. And I want us to think about today a little bit about what this fear means. If you look that word up, okay, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And it says in Strong's, if you look up what that Greek word meant, it means to frighten. That is, passively, to be alarmed. By analogy, to be in awe of, that is revere. And it's used in the scripture to be afraid, to be sore afraid, exceedingly, fear exceedingly, to reverence. It's almost always used as to be afraid or fear. And this morning, while I love the Lord with all my heart, and I will truly say He is the best friend that I have, I want to tell you something. I stand in awe of God, and I reverence Him, and I fear to displease the Lord and sin against Him because of the things that He has told us. And I would this morning, I would, and I've been praying for weeks, Lord, get a hold of some hearts with some fear of God. Folks, we need to fear the Lord a little bit. Our society doesn't have any fear at all, and they're racing toward the judgment, and folks, they're going to meet Him with that on hands. And so, there are great promises to those that serve the Lord, and there are great promised punishments to those that don't. Did you know that? I don't know if you realize that. There are great promised punishments to those that don't serve the Lord, to those that don't fear God, to those who sin against Him. And so we want to read some of that this morning. Jesus said this in Matthew 25 and verse 41. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, when you think of the devil and all of his crew, you might think, well, he deserves it. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said that you're going to go the same place. if you don't serve the Lord. Now, I hate to put it like that, but it is the truth. If I meet you at the judgment, folks, I don't want you telling me. You never told me. All you did was tell me about the good things about God. Folks, we better fear the Lord too. We better fear Him not only in awe, because we sang this wonderful song that we sang about, oh, don't our souls just expand when we think about how great God is. Don't it make us to stand in awe? How many times have we stood in the woods or outside and looked up at God's creation and stood in awe? Many times, haven't we? And our hearts just expand as we see all that God has, and we realize how He loved us so much He died for us in our place for our sins that we might be saved. And our heart stands in awe. But folks, I want to tell you, I'm afraid to displease God. Revelation 20 and verse 10, I want to read something of what the Lord left us so that we would understand what was coming one day. It says here, and let me turn on over. And the devil that deceived them. Is the devil deceiving anybody today? He got you believing that, oh, it can't be that bad. Oh, I think I can get saved just before I die. I've talked to people like that. I had a man working for me one time. And his hope was that just before he died, he would get ready. He would be ready. Just before he died, just in that moment. And he lived a wicked life. Well, folks, it says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. We don't want to listen to false prophets, folks. They'll take us where they're going. They'll convince us of things we shouldn't be convinced of. And it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, you can try to determine the definitions of words if you want, but I think I know what this means. Folks, it's a very frightening thing to think if we might be going there, huh? Wouldn't you say? It's frightening to me. I want to be sure that I don't go there. Now, I want to preach to you how good heaven is. And I hope you want to go there as bad as some of the rest of us do. I hope you decide I'm going. I'm going to plug my ears to the world, to its calls, to all the evil, and I'm going to go to heaven. Folks, we can go there. But you better remember something too, folks. It's going to be forever and ever. That's what the scriptures tell us. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now this is telling us what's going to happen to you and me one day. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I want to tell you, the Lord lets us know very clearly that everything we're doing, the Lord's taking note of. He sees everything we do. He sees every intent of our heart. And He knows the thoughts of our mind. And He hears the words that we speak. And He has them all. He knows that. Now, folks, is He trying to cast us into this place? No. He's trying to take us to heaven, which is the reason He sent His Son. But, folks, I want to reason with us this morning. We must fear God. And I hope you can be convinced this morning to fear God. To fear Him. They were judged according to their works. Now, folks, that's unpopular in today's world. And it's not believed by a lot of people. And it told us this right up here. And the devil that deceived them. And it talks about the false prophet being cast into this lake of fire. Folks, listen, let's don't follow that. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The grave, all that was delivered to this lake of fire. And the sea. We're not going to be able to get away from God. No matter what's happened to us, we're going to come to meet Him one day. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, folks, it behooves us to have our name written in the book of life. Because if we don't, the scriptures tell us we're going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. There isn't an end to those things. So the Lord help us today. I know this is a little strong. I want it to be strong. I don't want to meet you at the judgment and you tell me all you did was preach nice, soft things. I want to be faithful to your soul. Because whether you like it or not, or whether you like what God says or not, you better fear Him. You better fall down before Him and say, Lord, I know You're there. Folks, there's something within us that God put within us that tells us there is a God in heaven. There's something within us that God has let us know you're going to give account. There's just something that God puts down in there. Oh, the Lord help us today. Do you remember the story? And you can turn to this if you want. I'm not going to try to read it word for word. But you remember the story of a rich man and a beggar. The beggar's name was Lazarus. For some reason, we don't even know the rich man's name. He was much more prominent in their society, I'm sure. But we don't know his name. But the beggar, Lazarus, he begged at his gate. And the rich man fared sumptuously. He ate high on the hog, if you want to call it, every day. He ate anything he wanted. He had life good. Sounds like America, doesn't it? Yeah, he fared sumptuously. And you know what? This poor beggar was full of sores, but he feared God. And you know what? He died. And then the rich man died. And you know what? There was a hereafter. And the rich man wanted to send him a message. Can you not go back and tell my five brothers? Not possible. There's a great gulf between you and me. There's a great gulf between the righteous in eternity and those who spend eternity in the lake of fire. You know, I don't preach like this very often, but folks, it's heavy on my heart. He said, Lazarus, he was talking to Abraham. Can't you just send Lazarus with just a drop of water so it can get on my tongue and cool my tongue down? Not possible. He chose his fate. He had the prophets. God dealt with his heart, but he never yielded. Folks, there isn't anybody that can yield for you but you, and for me but me. We are the only ones. We are the guardian of our soul. We must. What else do we fear? We better lay that one down before the fear of God and take that as the ultimate fear, that we serve Him. And so we have that little story that Jesus told. You remember, this is in Ezekiel 16:49. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? He said here, the prophet did, behold, This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride? Anybody ever had a round with pride? You ever had to battle pride? You better fear God. Don't let that thing get its place. Fullness of bread? Just ate all they wanted. This was Sodom. Now, I always thought of Sodom. Oh, their sin was their lifestyles, their gay lifestyle, all that. You know what? It was a sin. But I want to tell you something. They had things that brought those things on. They had pride in their hearts. I want to tell you something. Pride goes before a fall. Serving self goes before destruction. And so they served themselves and they ate all they wanted all the time. This was Sodom. An abundance of idleness. And we all love to just do what we want to, don't we? I want to tell you, folks, sometimes it's better to get in the harness and take responsibilities. Be careful about the things that open the doors for more sins like Sodom did. And so, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Well, it takes time to do that. It takes money to do that. It takes effort to strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. It takes a lot of work. That's not an easy job. And so they didn't do it. And they didn't worry about it. They only worried about themselves. And it took them down a path of destruction. Folks, we want to remember in our lives the fear of God. We want to remember what it is that God casts judgment on. And what it is that He blesses. Because, folks, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Do you believe that this morning? It maketh rich, folks. I'm not talking about money necessarily. Sometimes He does that too. But it makes a person rich. You remember Noah? The world got so wicked in Noah's day until the Lord found no one else out there. Noah and there was eight that were saved. And that's all in the whole world. Folks, I think we're kind of headed that way, don't you? I don't think we're quite where Noah was yet. I think we're headed that way. And I will tell you what happens when it's headed that way. The scripture says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. When everybody else is being lax about their soul, when everybody else is committing iniquity and sin and living to their flesh, it's real easy for us to not go upstream and do that too. We have to choose the fear of the Lord. We have to recognize in our mind that my life has to be different. I'm going to pay the price all my life. And I want to serve the Lord all my days. And I don't want to leave any bridges that I didn't blow up behind me. I don't want a way back. I want to make sure that I make it in. Oh, folks, the Lord help us today. Do you remember, and I'll turn to this, Daniel 4 and 27. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, yeah. He was a great king, too. He had great power, probably the most powerful man on the face of the earth at the time. Very rich man. And you know what? 4:27, Daniel admonished this king because God gave him a reason to admonish him. He had a dream he couldn't figure out. And Daniel told him the dream, and then he told him, this is what he told him. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It may be a lengthening of thy tranquility or your peace. Maybe God will give you some more days that are of peace. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. He didn't listen, did he? Maybe he listened for a little bit, it doesn't say. Maybe he tried to curb things a little. But folks, we got to do more than curb things. We've got to fear the Lord, fall down before Him and repent and live for God, whether we understand everything or not, whether we know a hypocrite or not, whether we like it or not. You better fear the Lord and depart from evil. You'll like it. It's a lovely thing to serve the Lord. It doesn't seem so when you're in sin and the deceiver is talking in your ear, does it? The king spake and said, listen, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and here was the height of his glory. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that, now listen to the terminology, that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Ooh. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And that happened for 7 years. And we find Nebuchadnezzar humbled greatly, don't we? For 7 years he ate grass with the animals. God pronounced it upon him. But in his mercy, he brought Nebuchadnezzar back to his place. Folks, today is the day of mercy. Oh, he wants to give us mercy. But there will be a day when there will be no more mercy. And so we... I want to tell you what Nebuchadnezzar said at the end, verse 37. After he came back and his reason returned and his kingdom returned to him, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now, folks, we don't have to be King Nebuchadnezzar to have pride. I'm amazed at what people can be proud of, what the devil can tempt us to be proud of. We better humble ourselves. We have to do that by God's help. Do you know that Nebuchadnezzar had a son? His name was Belshazzar. And you know, Belshazzar, he knew those things. He knew what had happened to his father. He probably was old enough. He probably saw all of that. And you know, he went on and he lived wickedly. Folks, all we have to do is be foolish and we'll be wicked. We have to be careful with our life. We have to say no to this guy. We have to tell this guy, you're going to serve the Lord. And we have to humble our heart and begin to seek God. And we find him. Do you know this morning, Belshazzar, he lifted himself up until he had a feast and he had 1,000 of his lords there. 1,000 of his high ranking people. And while they were drinking wine and feasting and praising the gods of silver and gold, and he knew better. He knew there was a God in heaven. And he knew that those goblets they were drinking wine out of and praising gods with came from the Lord's temple over in Israel. He knew these things. And you know what? While he was doing that, a hand began to write on the wall. And Belshazzar got scared. His knees began to shake. They began to knock together, the Bible says. And you know what? He didn't know what the writing meant. He didn't know what it said. But he knew there was something there. They called for Daniel, the man of God, that had lived for God all these years. And you know what he told him? This is in Daniel 5:22. And thou, his son, Nebuchadnezzar's son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heavens, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You know what? And he told him, he said, this is what this means. And this is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Now, I want to tell you what that means. They used to have scales, not electronic scales, where we all have seen it. They had a little thing on each side and they put a 5-pound weight over here and you measure out 5 pounds of wheat or something on the other side. And when it was even, you knew that was 5 pounds. And he said, Belshazzar, you've been weighed. And there's not enough there. I don't want to hear those words. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And do you know that very night? The Medes and the Persians had snuck into that city. They took over his palace and they killed him. And they took his kingdom. Folks, these things are written, the scriptures tell us, for our learning, for our admonition. That's what they're written for. We have record of them because God wants us to know, don't be like this. He wants us to know something better. Do you know the scripture says in Romans 14, 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, I don't know how strong we might be, or how forceful, or how powerful in our life we might be. But I want to tell you something. Your knee is going to bow to God. And every tongue is going to confess. All the lying, all the deceit, all those things, your tongue is going to tell the truth before God because you're going to confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Folks, I know this is strong language this morning, but the world has been through many things, including a great flood, for which there is much evidence for everywhere. Why do they find seashells in Kansas? I want to tell you, it's not because it just evolved over millions of years. It's because there was a great flood. And I want to tell you something. It covered all the earth. And there's evidence everywhere. You remember old Jeremiah? He was a prophet of God. He lived about 600 years before Christ. He was born before that a little. But, you know, he constantly warned the nation of Israel. Constantly, turn from your evil ways. Stop your sinning and serve the Lord. But they didn't hear him and they didn't listen to him. And they got mad at him and they didn't believe him. Because there was all these prophets that were saying otherwise. Oh no, that's not going to happen. No, the great king is not going to come and take us away. But I want to tell you what happened. The great king came and took them away. And killed a whole lot of them. And made the rest of them slaves. And took them to different foreign countries. And there they spent the rest of their life. Now Jeremiah had, as so often is with God, he gave them promise. After 70 years you can return. But think about it. Your posterity can return. Because most of them weren't going to be alive in 70 years. Folks, if we want the promises of God, we better serve the Lord. I encourage us this morning to weigh matters up. And don't wait until we get to the great judgment bar of God. Yes. and Him tell us, you're weighed and found wanting. We know already we're found wanting. But why can't we send our sins on before? Why can't we fall down before God now and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And God wants to forgive that. Oh, this morning, I want to warn us today. Don't be wicked. Don't allow wickedness in your life. Don't allow evil to come into your life, folks. The scriptures tell us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is, if you're a wicked sinner or if you're a barely sinner. We better hear it this morning. I don't like preaching messages like this any more than you don't like hearing them. I had a great struggle. But I am determined to preach everything God puts on our heart. I want to read a few more places before we're done. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, 2 Peter, listen to what the apostle tells us. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. What's a scoffer? Oh, that's silly. Oh, that's not true. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you got God for... Come on. Listen, folks. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, yes. Yes, I do. You better believe it, I do. And you better too. Folks, the Lord wants us to have more than a weak faith in Him. Knowing this first, folks, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Everything their mind can think of, that's what they do. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But listen to what verse 5 says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the water and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But folks, I want to tell you something. The day of repentance is now. And often I have seen people that just resisted the Lord, went out in their arrogance, and served the devil. And I want to tell you, many times it's like a fast-flowing stream that never returns. Many times. Let's don't be willingly ignorant of these things. But listen to what else he says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief don't come when he thinks you're going to be watching, folks. The day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I had a dream. I had maybe a vision one time. I've had very few of this kind of thing. But I want to tell you something. I began to see all around me things changing. And I saw things floating by in the air. And I saw the Lord coming. And I want to tell you something. I didn't see Himself. But I saw a mansion. And I saw it coming, and it was so glistering white. It was coming as fast as light. And I just remember running toward it and just like feeling myself lifting up. Folks, I want to tell you something. We're going to face that one day, and we're going to meet that. We don't want to meet it with judgment and with condemnation and with crying out. He said the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let that be the end of it. Peter told us they're going to be burned up. That's what's going to happen, folks. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, if this was just an instantaneous thing and it was over, we might think, I'll just take my chances. But the forever and ever? Folks, I want to reason with you this morning. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Folks, the whole world might be saying that if there's no works to it. But I want to tell you, just take the plain, simple teaching of the Scriptures. Be diligent. That means be careful, be on your job, to make sure that you are found without sin and blameless before God. Oh, the Lord help us. We're this morning to find Him. I want to give you a few words of hope that the Lord has given. Folks, it says, God so loved the world. I probably don't have to tell where that is. It's in John 3:16 for anybody that might not know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for that freshness. Oh, everlasting life, folks. Eternal life, eternal life. Plug your ears and run for it this morning. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Him to condemn you. You're condemned already if you're in sin. But folks, there will be a day that He's no longer the Savior, He's the Judge. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Righteousness, light, life, eternal life is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And why would they love evil deeds? Because, folks, they cater to the flesh. The evil deeds. The flesh craves more stuff, but it never satisfies. Never does what it said it would do. And so we find them loving darkness rather than believing God, departing from evil. Listen to what it says in Titus 3:3. For we ourselves, folks, we don't any of us have anything to throw at anybody else. We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done. We didn't buy this thing. The Lord gave His life for it. But we better be diligent to keep it. Don't think there's nothing else you ever have to do. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I felt like the Lord gave me this song this morning, and I want to read the words of it. Maybe we could sing it if somebody knows it well. Once I was lost. It's called Justice Called. Mercy answered, "Once I was lost, down deep in sin, but Christ my Lord then took me in. My soul was on destruction's road, then Christ came in and took my load." The chorus says, "For justice called and mercy answered. Jesus heard my feeble plea. Though I've been there 10,000 years, I will be there because of love. For justice called and mercy answered." Verse 2 says, "Christ died upon the cross for me, that I from sin might be made free. I was condemned by sinful shame. Christ paid the debt." Oh, praise His name. Folks, we don't have to take this. We don't have to believe and think that there is no hope for us. Christ paid the debt. "For justice called and mercy answered. Jesus heard my feeble plea. Though I've been there 10,000 years, I will be there because of love. For justice called and mercy answered. When I have reached that home above, I will be there because of love. Christ gave His all that I might live. Eternal life to me did give." And the tagline says, "Though I've been there 10,000 years, I will be there because of love. For justice called, justice called. Maybe it was time for me to be judged." And mercy answered. Mercy answered. Thank the Lord. Mercy is wanting to answer today, folks. "For justice called and mercy answered." Oh, may the Lord bless each one of us today. Stand and sing. If anyone wants to get their life cleared up today, folks, we can pray. The Lord longs to clear your life up. It's time to make a change. It's time to say, "I want my name to be clear over there." It's time to fall upon our knees and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I'll give up my sin, my lust, my fault. I'll give up those things if You'll just clear my name. If You'll prepare me to meet You in peace." Oh, may the Lord do it for you today. Amen.